as we go into his word this morning. Hallelujah. Come one more time. I love you, Lord, altogether. One more time altogether. I love you, Lord. Let us be no distractions. Let us focus through your word, oh God, this morning. Those are things that may have been said, and maybe some things people are probably even thinking, oh Lord. But Lord, just put that aside in their minds for a second. Allow them to hear from your word as we humbly come before you this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. Hope is not a sentimental thing, but a powerful thing in our lives. In biblical definition of hope is the confident expectation, a sure expectation that our future is in God's hand. Without hope, life loses its meaning and the righteousness. In the righteousness, the one who put their hope in God will be helped. As the Bible tells us in Psalm 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my hope and my shield. My heart trusts in him and he helps me. My heart leaps for joy and with my song, I praise him. Everyone must have hope to live. And in Jesus Christ is the one who gives us that living hope. Hope is waiting. Hope is expecting. Hope is trusting. And when you and I build our lives on Jesus, who is that rock, the living stone, the living hope, who is that chief cornerstone that you and I know, yes, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. That's where we find hope, in Jesus Christ, on that rock, that solid rock I stand. No other ground. You cannot be sung, you cannot sing, because we're standing on the rock of Jesus. Do you have that hope this morning? Do you have that hope this morning? Our faith in Christ is solid rock. We place and stand ourselves on that rock. And we are building our lives on this solid ground. And how many want to live a life that stands? And I believe every one of us want to live that life that stands. Life on the rock. That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. The subject is life on the rock. And if you build your faith, if you build your family, if you build your life, your future on this life, we will discover not a hopeless end, but an endless hope with him. If you build your faith on him. As the song goes, a hymn we sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, my righteousness. I dare not to trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Do you remember that hymn we used to sing when I was 10 years old, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You know those times, those hymns we used to sing, and we used to mean it, my hope is built on nothing less. We were standing on that rock. We were there every time, standing on the rock. That rock, you can tremble on that rock, but that rock never shook, because that rock is Jesus Christ. Do you remember those days? Maybe the young ones don't remember, but I remember those days. Our reading this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 to 10. Joseph had mentioned verse 9 and 10 this morning as we open the service. But before we go into verses 4 to 10, as it goes on the screen, I just want to read you a couple of verses ahead of time. So rid yourself of all malice, of all deceitful hypocrisy, envy, and all slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk, so that you may grow by it for your salvation. Since you have tasted that the Lord is good. Here it is. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be holy, priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in the scripture it says, see, I lay a stone of Zion, a chosen, a precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in me will never be put to shame. You get that? The one who puts the trust in him will never be put to shame. As we continue the scriptures. Now to you who believe, the stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are, oh, look at this. You are a chosen people. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into a wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. When we look at the scriptures, it just builds my faith. It shows us who we are in Christ. This passage describes how Jesus is the cornerstone, the living stone. And because who he is who we are in him. We are not of people. Now we are of God's people. We were once in darkness, and now we are into the light, this marvelous light. So Peter in this text is identifying in describing and identifying our Christ. Peter is saying we are like Christ. We are also the living stones. So once you were dead, once you were not of God, not of people, now you are of God. You have accepted this precious gift into your life. You become a living stone. And that tells us there's a responsibility when you and I become a living stone. There's a big role for us to play in that. The living stone. Peter pictures here that God is building a spiritual temple using living stones as Christians. Those who have come to this ultimate living stone. As much as God chose Israel, so the church is also chosen. As much as Israel has a priesthood, so Christians are also royal priesthoods. As much as Israel has sacrificial, so Christians offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And we'll explain to you what are those spiritual sacrifices. But you are a chosen people. A royal priesthood. Don't you get that? You are chosen by the Most High God. You are chosen by the King of Kings. You are chosen by the Lord of Lords. You are special in his eyes. You are precious in his eyes. We were dead once, but today we are found because we're standing on that rock. We received that living stone, and that was Jesus. Living stones. The question this morning, what is the life on the rock? What does it look like to be on that rock? Peter is thinking in terms of building of a building and building materials. But we are not surprised to find the Lord presented him as a stone, as a living stone. One thing we know about stone, we know that a stone is dead. It's solid rock. It's hard. It doesn't speak. But here he speaks about a living stone. We're talking about Jesus. He is that living stone. We are the living stones. The living stones are believers who come to Jesus Christ and place their life upon this foundation. The living stone is precious to those who believe in it. We have come to the stone, and Jesus is identifying us a living stone in verse 6. He's identifying that living stone, verse 7, a capstone, and verse 8, a stumbling stone. This living stone is alive. And we don't come to a little baby in Bethlehem. We come as little children to a living stone. a living stone. A dead Savior cannot give life, but a risen Savior can give life. And you and I experienced that life because we went to that living stone. We went to Jesus. But there's a role to play when we accepted Christ as a personal Savior. It's not just to look good. We're called living stones. We're called to give spiritual sacrifices, a royal priesthood. We need to know, understand what is the royal priesthood. What is the role of a royal priesthood? What is the role of a living stone? What is that role for us? You have been chosen by God, so we have a role to do as Christians on this world, in this earth, on this earth, that we are walking through this world. But a Savior cannot give life, remember that? But a risen Savior can give life. And we have this life, you and I, because we have stepped on that rock. And we're standing on that solid rock. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it in full. Now, that you know what it is to have eternal life? In John 17:3 says, now this is eternal life. That they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You want to know what's eternal life? Is if you know the only true God and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I believe we all have in that place here. I believe we're all in this place, but if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you have not confessed with your mouth that He is Lord and that He is the one that's supposed to give you, He is the one that comes into your life, I encourage you to do so today. You can be here 1 year, 2 years, 10 years in a church, and some people can be even dead solid rock in a church. So I encourage you, if you have not accepted Jesus, this risen Lord, this solid rock, I encourage you to do so today. So in this text piece, Peter describes it as he experienced it. Who was Peter before he met Jesus? Peter was a fisherman doing his own thing, going out and trying to catch the big fish and trying to get some food on his table. And here he is, fish. He's a fisherman. In Luke chapter 5, verse 8 to 11, when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' feet, kneels and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and his all companions were astonished to catch a fish they had taken. And so were James and John and the son of Zebedee and Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything in what? And they followed him. So who was Peter before? He was a fisherman. Now he is following Jesus. And on that day, Jesus went to a place called Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they responded to Jesus saying that, some might say John the Baptist, some might say Elijah, some might say Jeremiah, or even one of the prophets. And then he looked at Peter, Jesus looked at Peter and says, but you, who do you think who I am? And Peter responded, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are in Peter. You are a Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Now there can be some discussion on this verse saying that Peter is the rock building the church on his life. No, the rock is Jesus himself. He is that solid foundation. Simon Peter experienced the new life in Christ. Even though he failed and denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus reached out to him. They were fishing. They did not catch anything and any fish all night. You know that story? But in the morning, Jesus meets and tells them to throw their net on the other side of the boat. And they did that, and there was a miraculous catch of 153 fish. Having breakfast on the shore, Peter stood near a charcoal fire, and Jesus speaks to Peter. In John 21, this is where Jesus restores Peter and asks him 3 times the question, do you love me? And Peter, the Bible tells us, Peter was grieved. And then he asked him the third time. And Peter responded, you know everything. You know that I love you. And then Jesus responded to Peter, feed my sheep. After saying that, he told them to follow me. You see, this is the life of Peter. And this is our lives at times. We have accepted Christ. We're standing on that rock. And then we deny Jesus. But he is so precious. He is so good. He is an amazing God. He comes out again and stretches out his arm and brings us and says, once again, follow me. Because you have been chosen. He has called you. He has called me to do the Great Commission. He has called Peter, and then Peter followed Jesus again. And you know the result of Peter when he preached the first message. You see what happened in Acts. Salvations over salvations over salvations happened in their life. But when Jesus meets them and tells them to throw this net on the other side, when they did that, the 153 fish were caught that day. Jesus forgave him. And after Jesus restored him, now filled him with the Spirit of Christ, Peter's solid rock and for standing boldly with Jesus, proclaiming that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, that he may have a living hope in him that lasts forever. And Jesus said that you have come to this living stone. So you are living stones built into a spiritual house. And after being born again, Jesus Christ has given us a life of purpose. We were once a nobody and now we are somebody because of him. I was a nobody. You are a nobody because you have accepted Christ. You became a somebody in the eyes of the Lord. We were once lost, but today we are found. We were once blind, but today we see. And we see and accept it in God's family. We belong to him, so we have nothing to fear. We have the spiritual power to overcome the challenges of life. You have the spiritual power in your life, in my life, to overcome the situations of life because Christ is in our lives and you and I are standing on that rock. Yes, it could tremble. You can tremble, but that rock is not going to tremble. That rock is not going to move because we're standing on a solid rock. And his name is Jesus. How many of you have experienced the trembling on that rock? We all experience that trembling on that rock. But you waited there. You almost fell off that rock. But you waited there. And Jesus came and helped you once again. That's the God. That's the Lord that you and I serve today. To overcome life's tests and overcome temptation, knowing that Satan tries to rip us apart every day, but we have this living stone to help us. We have God's word to help us. God's words last forever. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of God endures forever. As everything fades away in life, we are standing on the Word of God, standing on the solid rock. Yes, we have life in Christ. God is at work in us. God is with us. God is for us. He is always there. He's building us up. He's strengthening us up. He's equipping us. He's gifting us. He's protecting us and persevering until the end. He is supplying our needs. He is guaranteed a place in heaven for you and I forever and ever. That's the rock that you and I are standing this morning. A place in heaven with him forever. This is just a passage. This is just a passage. This is our life on the rock. And it's because of him you and I can do it. It's because of him you and I can do it. Peter, not only that, he said that he's a living stone, but if you read the scriptures, it also said he's a rejected stone. And you and I know many people around our family, around our neighbors, are still rejecting this stone, rejecting this Jesus that is presenting in all over the world. You know somebody in your family is rejecting the Lord. In that time, he was rejected by humans. But he was chosen by God and precious to him. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human but chosen by God and precious to him. Put aside of God. He has chosen a valuable and precious person, his son Jesus. And we look at the word rejected for a moment. What we see, what is the meaning of this, is disqualified. Jewish builders, high priests, scribes, and Pharisees, and all the bulk of the nation rejected him as the Messiah. They refused him as a foundation stone and left him out of the building and laid other foundations. They rejected him as the living stone. They disapproved of him because he was a friend of sinners, because of his miracles, because of raising Lazarus from the dead. They rejected him and plotted him to die, plotted him to his death. He was chosen by God, precious just like the precious of the blood of Jesus, rejected by man, arrested and tested, beating him up, crucifying him on that cross. He was being tested and experienced. So in this text, what we see that Jesus is the rejected as a living stone. Many people ask, what about the people who have never heard from God? It's not for you and I to worry about that. Worry about what are you doing with the Christ that is in your life? What are you doing with that Jesus is in you? You are the living stone. What are you doing with it? Oh, but pastor, there's millions of people around the world that never heard the word. Let God deal with that. You'll deal with it. The question is, what do I do with Jesus in my life today? That's what we face today, church. People test us and examine us. And people ask us, what would you do with Jesus who was called Christ? People have rejected the living stone, and you know people will reject the living stone today. Peter says that Christ is a stone, and as particular as chief, Christ as a chief cornerstone. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. A cornerstone in modern is placed in a base corner. And we see it there. Chosen and precious is a base corner. And this is what brings back together. It brought back the Jews. It brought the Gentiles into one place. Jesus is that chief cornerstone. It brings people together from all nations, from all countries, from all over the world. And brings them together. And we start building on that chief cornerstone. If you're not standing on that chief cornerstone, you're not even close. You will fall. You will be destroyed. Because you know that is the most important part of building structure is the cornerstone. And without that cornerstone, what does it do? It brings it together. It brings it together. And that's what it is. When you have that chief cornerstone in your life, it brings it together. There is no division. There is no separation. It just draws it together. And then you can start building the church of God that you and I are called to do, living stones. Start to build on that. Build your family on that. Build the church on that. Build your future on that. Build your career on that. Build your children, your family, your wife, everybody. Build it on that chief cornerstone. You will not fail. There might be some little situations at time. The guy who's constructing might take a little bit of time before he brings the cement. But sometimes you might say it's not growing, but you stand firm to that cornerstone. You don't give up. You don't stop. You hold on to it, to that chief cornerstone. The stone which the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. Is Jesus the chief cornerstone? And I pray that he is the chief cornerstone of your life. And if Jesus is the chief cornerstone in your life, he's set in your life, you will see consistency. Do you ever wonder why your life always is on a ruin? Wonder why is everything falling apart? Your marriage is suffering. Career can be suffering. The cornerstone holds everything together. And if you're trying to do this alone, trying to build your life without the cornerstone, it will ultimately fall. We need the cornerstone to be put together. And if your life is not built on this rock, I encourage you to receive it. receive this living stone. You will never be disappointed or ashamed if Jesus is your life. We have read it before. Nothing will harm you if you're standing on the rock. Nothing will harm you if you receive that living stone. Nothing will harm you if you have the chief cornerstone and you're holding on to that chief cornerstone day in and day out of your life. Nothing will harm you. Not only that we are living stones, therefore we belong together. We believe together as we are united together. And we become better together. We can't do it alone. You can't serve Jesus here and you serve Jesus here and you don't speak to each other. You can't serve Jesus there and you serve Jesus here and you hate each other. It's not going to work. The church of God is going to fail. You're going to fail. Your house is going to fail. Your future is going to fail because we're not holding on to the chief cornerstone. You're living stones. And living stones are precious. We are called to do something much greater than just to sit down. That's why the Discovery Weekend is important for us to look at this. It's not just for us. It's to bring that mother, that single mom, or to bring that father who've just lost a whole family, or to bring someone who is discouraged, or to bring a family that is going to an urge of a separation. That's what we're called to do, to go out and bring hope in their life. Lead them to Christ. Now, I don't know if I get permission about this, but Jennifer, can I share your story? Thank you. This past week, I was talking to Jennifer, wonderful lady, seeing the growth in her life, talking to me on the phone and just touched my heart completely. So how you doing? Doing good. We're okay. It's doing good, but as a joke, but she was doing good, you know? And she said to me, I have this man in my house. He's a homeless man. We took him in and we're helping him out to get back on his feet. Somebody that she just seen on the road, maybe for years, probably sitting on their side of the road, begging for food, sleeping around the area. But her and her husband and her family went there and picked him up and offered him a place to stay. Into the place, into their home, feeding them and providing them a rest, a place of rest. That doesn't come just by luck. Something had to trigger in her heart to go out and lead this person into the house to give him warmth, to give him food. Something had to trigger in their hearts. It's not by luck. They've experienced Christ. She experienced Christ and she knows that pain of suffering. So she goes out and brings that person in. And I say this not to lift her up, but this is to encourage all of us to go out and go an extra step to help someone who is in need. I know there's discomfort. It's hard taking time on my space. I don't know who this man is. But Jennifer, if God has put that in your heart, He will reward you every second of it. He will repay you everything back because you're doing what is biblical. You're not doing out of the ordinary. You're doing what is biblical. It's scripture to go out. You are a living stone, and we're called to do these things. To go out and help someone and bring them to Christ and lead them to Christ. So not only that we are living stones, but we belong together and we become better together. Jesus gave us His church, His family, and we can't do it alone. We need each other together to become better. We are also not only the living stones, but we're also His royal priesthood. We are the children of the King. We are a priest unto God. In 1 Peter 2:9, it tells us this, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. When we look at priests, we often think of a man that wears this robe. In all kinds of churches, we often look at it as the priest. But in New Hope Christian Assembly, I'm seeing a bunch of believing priests here this morning. You might not have that robe, but you are a royal priesthood. And royal priesthoods have a job to do, has responsibilities to do, to fulfill. I'm your pastor, but not your priest. Every one of us here is a royal priesthood. But the fact is, every believer in Christ is in him or her his own priest. Believers are described as royal priests offering up sacrificial, spiritual sacrifices. What are these spiritual sacrifices? The reason why you and I are priests, because Jesus has given us now access to God. Why is that? We know, is that true? We know that Jesus died on the cross. When he died on the cross, the veil tore the temple, tore into the temple on the top, from the top to the bottom. We know that in the Old Testament. We see that once a year, only the high priest was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies. You know, when Jesus died, the veil ripped, it tore from top to bottom, because no man can ever do that. So you see that now all of a sudden, once a year, the high priest used to go in. Now Jesus, God, made access for us to go directly to himself. We are his priesthood. We are his children. We don't need a mediator. The mediator we have is Jesus Christ himself. I don't need to go to someone and say, bring this to my dad. No, I go to Jesus and go to my dad. I don't have to go around the booth and share all my sins to that priest behind that booth. I am not condemning them. That's what they do. That's what they know. May the Lord bless their heart. But no, what I see through the scriptures, the veil has ripped, because for you and I have this access to go directly to God himself. Isn't that exciting? That you and I can go to God anytime. Anytime, anywhere, any time of the day, you can call up to him and he will answer you. Not only that he hears you, but the Bible tells us he would answer you when you call upon him. So I call my home. My son picks up the phone, or my wife picks up the phone. Let's use this illustration. Picks up the phone, and I say, "Lily, how you doing?" "Doing fine. Can I speak to so and so?" And you go this, and so and so picks up the phone, and your son picks up the phone. Let's use another illustration. I'm calling my dad. Okay, I'll call my dad in Montreal. And my sister picks up, and I say, "Can I speak to my dad?" "Oh, sure, no problem." And she gives me the phone to my dad. And my dad, I'm talking to my dad. "How you doing? You doing great?" "Yeah, we're doing awesome." "Great, son. How you doing?" "Yeah, I'm doing great. Oh, I just called you because I wanted to hear your voice today. I wanted to talk to you." And my dad responds to you, "It's good that you called, because I love you." You see, we didn't have to go through a lot of chains. I went to my sister, and I went directly to my dad. We go directly to Jesus to go to our Father in heaven. We don't have to wait in line. We don't have to take a number. Jesus died on the cross, and that veil is split open for you and I to enter into the Holy of Holies, to enter into the presence of God. He made access for you and I to go right there. We are his royal priesthood. And there's responsibility for a royal priesthood. Now we see this, because we can see it in Hebrews chapter 10. If someone doesn't believe me, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we were have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. He opened that curtain for you and I to get right there. What are these spiritual sacrifices? What are the spiritual sacrifices? In the Old Testament, men brought animals to be sacrificed. But what are the spiritual sacrifices as royal priests? So what do we bring to the Lord? And the first thing that we need to bring is a living sacrifice. He said, "Therefore, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." When we give all to Christ, when we give it all to him, and as living sacrifices, it will please God. Run away from sin. Run away from critics. Run away from judging. Run away from that. Let your life live a holy life with Christ every day. That what pleases God. But when we linger and hang on to those things, into the murmuring, you're not pleasing God. We're hurting Him. We're not pleasing God at all. It means totally living for God's honor. We are to be different from the non-Christians. So what do we bring? It's a sacrifice, that life for Him. So as royal priesthood, what will please God? Living for Him totally. Second thing that we need to, what are the spiritual sacrifice? We need to go into this world to preach the word of God, preach the message of hope, as Paul says in Romans 15, 16, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave them this, gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. You get what I'm trying to bring here this morning? We are His royal priesthood. We have a responsibility to do. What are your spiritual sacrifices? Living holy into the lives of the Lord, doing what's right in His eyes. And as a priest's responsibility, as your responsibility, as my responsibility, is to be a minister of Christ Jesus to this world. That's why we're trying to bring this for the weekend, because we want every one of us to be royal priesthoods, not within the walls, but to go out and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so someone else can experience that hope that you've experienced. Are you with me this morning? That is our responsibility. That is our role as royal priesthood. You have to share your story. And when you do that, that is an offering that we give as a priest. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 is repeating again this verse, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood. Let us sink in your mind for a moment. A holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. Have you experienced that? He called you out of darkness and brought you into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people. Once you were dead. Once you were lost. Once you were blind. Once you even existed. But now you belong to God. Once you have not received mercy, but now you received mercy. Now, if we are God's people, what are we doing with this Jesus? Remember, before we were without hope, and now we are changed. We came out of darkness into the light. Now we got to proclaim God's word, to preach Jesus at all time. And as your pastor, I build my hope, my faith on this hope, on this rock. I am not ashamed of saying that I love Jesus wherever I go. It's easy to say I love God, but say I love Jesus wherever you go is completely different. I am not ashamed. I've built my family on this rock. I build my future on this rock. I build my career on this rock. I build the church on this rock. I build my life on this rock. And I am not afraid of saying, I love you, Jesus. And you also should not be afraid of that. Because why? Because no one will harm you. You won't be put to shame because you're standing on that rock. And one sentence this morning, if I want to conclude this message, is this: God made who you are so you can tell others on who He is. God made who you are so you can tell others of who He is. As the worship team will come forward, everyone stand for a moment on your feet. Maybe some of you, this message, you might have went across your mind. Maybe some of you might say, I had no understanding what's happening. Maybe some of you just took this word and says, yes, this is for me this morning. But I just want to tell you there is hope in Christ. And if you're not on that rock, solid rock, I encourage you to get that. and hold on and stand on that rock. You are God's chosen people. Every eye closed, every head bowed for a moment. Royal priesthood, the people for his possession, so that you may proclaim the praises. So as we sing this song this morning, I encourage you, if you stepped out of that rock and you're just doing a ritual and you're just coming here week in and week out and you're really just having your walk with Christ just for the, not taking it as serious it is. But remember, if we don't take it as serious as it is and you're far away from that chief cornerstone, you will fall. So I encourage you to go back and say, yes, Lord, forgive me. I want to get back on my feet. I want to get back and stand on you, Lord. I want to stand with you, Lord. I want to stand beside you. I want to stand with you, Lord, because I need you in my life, Lord. So, Father, I pray this morning, as every head bowed and every eye closed, we thank you for your word, O God. We thank you that you are her solid rock, and we build our life on this rock, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, that, Father, you have called us from darkness, Lord, and now today we are in the light because of you, God. Lord, if we have failed in some areas, if we have not done what we're called to do as living stones, Lord, as royal priesthood, Lord, forgive us, Lord. But, Lord, we want to be obedient to you and to your word, O God. So help us, Lord, to really focus our mind and our heart again, to get back on our feet and to do what we're called to do, because you have called us to do the Great Commission, to go out and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ so someone else can receive that peace, that joy, and that hope. In your name we pray, Lord, we ask these things. And as we sing this song together, Lord, bless us, encourage us, uplift us, in Jesus' name.